Gospel of John 13. I will say this. Look, I'll say this every church I go to. You know, I imagine evangelists have cliches, you know, and they tell us, but I really like being here. And I go to a lot of churches, you know, where I really like the pastor. I go to a lot of churches where I really like the pastor, maybe one or two people. But I feel like about every man in this church is my friend.
Amen.
I mean, I feel just, and that is a blessing to me. And I want you people to know that I know your preacher's nuts. But, boy, you thank God for him.
Amen.
You thank God for him. Last thing you want is religion.
Amen.
And you folks have got something. You really have. And we can really praise God. John chapter 13. Oh, let's pick up verse. Well, we'll just read verse 1 also. We're going to read about several verses in this passage. And then we'll look at it. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I got news for you. He loved them farther than that.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, man, he loved us. You know, I like the song, he loved me ere I knew him.
Yeah.
The supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Father, again, we thank you for this book. Lord, we don't have a problem with this book. We know it's perfect. And we know you're perfect. God, the weak link, is the guy behind the pulpit. And so, Father, we ask you to take care of all of my problems, and all of my personality problems, and all my shortcomings. I ask you, Father, to turn the light on in the hearts of these people. And I ask you, Father, to preach a message for yourself and get something from it and for it. In Jesus' name we ask you. Amen. Now, this is where Jesus, of course, we just read the passage. He washed the disciples' feet. Quite an example of grace that you could wash the feet of the person that you knew was going to betray you. That's a wild thing. And we don't have, and I tell people, you know, they say, why are you a Baptist? I'm a Baptist because eating is an ordinance of our church. We have too, baptism, Lord's Supper. I said, man, you know, that's a Baptist ordinance. I like that. And we do wash feet. We just, we do it when we do the whole thing, and usually do it in the privacy of our bathrooms, not here at church. But I want to talk to you tonight about this passage, about foot washing, and he said, I did this for an example. And I want you to see some things about this this passage and how we can apply it to our lives and see if it won't be a blessing to you. The first thing that I noticed from this passage is that it is always safe to assume that the feet are dirty.
Yeah.
It is always safe to assume. Now, in those days, you didn't have, you know, three bedrooms and a bath or two baths or anything like that. In those days, they had public bathhouses. Now, they weren't what they have in New York, okay? You go to those bathhouses, you come away dirtier than you went.
Yeah.
But they had a public bath, because that's where you went to the bath. And when you went and you took the bath, you came out of there, and of course, they didn't have shoes like we did. They had sandals. And so you were all clean from top of your head to bottom of your feet when you came out of there. And then you started down the road toward home. Well, you know exactly what happened when you started down that road. You're walking on a dirt road, a dusty road. People are walking past you. Cattle carts are going by you. And though you are clean, your feet are getting dirty. You just washed it. Don't you hate this wash? You know, we go into campgrounds quite often. And sometimes we'll use their showers. You know, first off, we'll look in there, you know, fight the spiders down and scrape the green carpet off the sides of the shower stalls. But there's nothing worse than getting in that shower and getting cleaned up and then having to step out into the water that the last guy just took his shower and stepped. And you just feel like there's all kinds of little things that want to start growing between your toes if you step on that. And you know what I always do is I pull my shoes over and I stand on top of my shoes. I dry off and I slip them on. There's something about I just want to keep my feet clean. I was in a pastor's house. This really happened. I was in a pastor's house and it was atrocious. And man, after a week there, I had something growing on my feet. I'm telling you the truth. It took me about 3 weeks to get rid of it. I don't know what it was. Praise God, it went away. But what I'm saying is this. If you were at your house and a guest came to visit you and they said, I've just been to the bath, you know they're clean, right? But you can also safely assume that their feet are dirty, right? Then what I'm telling you is this. It is always safe to assume that you're guilty of sin. Yeah. You say, you guys, you're always negative. No. I know the Bible says, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, one of the things of the liberalism, and the people are all mocking the legalists, one of their major drawback is they trust their flesh.
Yeah.
I heard a jerk tell his church that you should watch anything on TV that you want as long as you feel that the Lord, if he were to come there, would watch it too. Do you realize tonight that every Sandinista in Nicaragua thinks if Jesus Christ were here, he'd have an AK-47? Shooting the government soldiers, that's what they think. And so what I'm saying is, what's wrong with that whole crowd is they actually think that they can trust themselves. That tells me they've already been deceived by the deceitful heart.
Amen. Amen.
And what I already know about you, the reason you know people say, oh man, you know, now I want you to know, you don't have windows here, but if you did, it didn't do any good. My preaching does not ordinarily go out the windows. I don't like people to get up and preach about them. You know, yeah, I am. Those people don't believe a buck, and those are apostates. No, man, I know that I have got a room full of cutthroats. You know why? Because I know myself. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 tells me you're as bad as I am, and I know how bad I am, pal. Look, I mean, wash it and spray it and powder it and comb it. And bring it in here and dress it up good, and it all looks good, and it may all smell good, brush your teeth and everything else, but I still know that beneath your breastbone beats 5 pounds of rotten hamburger. I still know that you have got a heart that is deceitful, that your heart is like a drowning man grabbing at a straw, that it is desperately wicked.
Yeah.
Your heart is desperate to do wickedness. It's not just bad, it is desperate. It's like a caged lion. It's like it's just waiting for an opportunity. I was talking to a pastor out in Montana, and they were out in the range, and he said, a badger came. He says, a big badger. Now, that's bad news.
Yeah.
I mean, badgers, it's none of this, they'll fight to defend their family. They'll just kill you. They just get around your leg, man, and just chew it off. They don't care. And he said, this thing was just like the movies, man. This thing started coming at him. He had his rifle with him, but they started coming with him, and his wife were taking off, and she's running. What'd she do? Just like the movies, you know? She stepped in a badger's hole. Now, she's stuck. And he did what any red-blooded man said. He kissed her goodbye, hit her for the car. He said, give me your purse, the checkbook's in there, isn't it? He said that badger was coming at him, man. He pulled the trigger and nailed that badger, and it kept on coming.
Yeah.
He said he pulled the trigger again and missed it, pulled the trigger again, hit that badger, and kept on coming. He said that badger got probably, say, from here to that wall away before he dropped it. And I mean, it was a matter of having to drop that badger and kill it. And he said when it died, he said he looked at it and he said, as it died, it was just going. He said it was just desperate to get them. He said it was just overflowing with hatred. And that's how our hearts are. So what I'm saying is this, people. You know, sometimes you're embarrassed to come forward because you say, oh, somebody will think that I'm guilty. So, well, come on, man. You'd surprise us if you weren't. you would surprise us if you were not guilty of something. Look, I know that it is always safe to assume that your feet are dirty. I know. Look, you know what part of the body after they took a bath was dirty is the part that touched the world. And as long as you dwell in this world, somewhere along the line, you're going to get dirty. You can't keep away from it. You can't do anything about it. Listen, Paul said, I've got a problem with my flesh. Yeah. The greatest Christian ever lived had a problem with his flesh. My friend, you're going to have a problem with yours. Yeah. And I'm not talking about those two great sins of all mankind, murder and adultery. You probably have that problem here, but I'm going to say this. We got somebody in here that's probably lazy. We got somebody in here that is probably given to self-pity. We've got somebody in here that is probably a gossip. We've got somebody in here that is probably given to envy. And envy, by the way, is not what we call it. We've got envy and jealousy backwards. You know, you say, oh man, I envy you for having your new car. No. Envy is bad in the Bible. What you mean is you're jealous. Oh no, jealousy is bad. No, jealousy is good. That's why God calls himself in Exodus chapter 34, verse 14, calls himself, I am a jealous God, my name is jealous. I told that to J.W. one time. I said, oh, you're a jealous witness, aren't you? He said, no, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. That's God's name. I said, you're a jealous witness. He said, I'm not. So I opened up to Exodus 34, 14. I said, my name is jealous. I said, well, that's what it says. And so, and Paul said, I want to provoke you to jealousy, right? Well, he didn't try to get you to do something bad. But it also says in the Bible that it was envy that they came and killed Jesus Christ for. And so what you count jealousy is actually biblical envy. You say, well, what happened? You turned it around. God didn't.
Yeah.
So, well, I looked in the dictionary, and the dictionary defines the way I use it. Well, I figured it would. God didn't inspire a dictionary.
Yeah.
God inspired a book. And so I want to say this. You know, I talk to people, they say, oh, you're a so-and-so. I say, you know what their problem is? They're proud. I say, what did you expect? They're human. Are you their problems? The problem is they're lazy. Yeah, I know. What's yours? People, it is natural to have a problem in the flesh. It is net. Look, I know tonight, you say, there's somebody in here that has a problem with lust. There's somebody in here that has a problem with the love of money and the desire to have things. What I'm saying is that as long as you dwell in this world, it is safe to assume. Look, I always know when I come into a crowd, and I think this is a good church, but I still know that in your heart dwells sin. Not some mean, wicked, horrible, conniving sin, not like what we consider the world, but Paul, still the same sin that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. Isn't that right? It is always safe to assume that the feet are dirty. And I do. I preach what I preach. I preach like everybody got dirty feet. I preach like everybody's got a wicked heart. I see those little children. I see purity. I don't see righteousness. I see innocence. But I know it won't stay forever.
Yeah.
People, it is always safe to assume. And so I say this to you tonight. You've got dirty feet. I thank God that I've been clean. But I know you got dirty feet. Second thing that this passage tells me, might I say to you, is thank God it's only the feet.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank God. I sat in the church the other night with a guy who did not take a shower before he came to church. I said, how'd you know? My nose is running tonight. It was my eyes were running that night. I mean, this guy's, you know, his deodorant had given up. It had died a violent death, you know. And there are times, you know, you guys, you ever get out there and really do some work? You know, on a day like today, man, listen, I have been, I remember one time I was digging a ditch. This is when I was pastor. And I was digging a ditch, and it was a sewer line. Now, mind you, we're not putting in a new sewer line in a new house. We're repairing a sewer line in a house that is inhabited. And they have not put up a sign that says, do not use the commode while we're out there in the yard. And I am waist deep in a ditch, in an open trench of all the things that are floating by. And I'm, you know, they said, oh, look, they had corn yesterday. And you come out of that ditch, man. I mean, I have, listen, you have walked, and there have been times when the sweat put clean streaks down the side of your face. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And you know, you get in the shower, and you take your putty knife, you know, and you kind of get yourself all scraped up clean. And doesn't it feel good?
Yeah.
Let me say this to you tonight. I know your feet are dirty, but don't you thank God it's just your feet?
Yeah.
Amen. Can't you remember a time when there were, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying to you that there's a whole bunch of battles that when you got up this morning, you didn't have to fight. You remember when you fought them? You remember when there were all kinds of problems. And look, I'm not minimizing the problems we have, and I'm not minimizing the sin. I'm just saying, thank God for the areas in my life I don't even have a battle anymore.
Yeah.
Thank God for the areas in my life that are clean now. Thank God for the areas in my life that are, I mean, man, look, Peter said, wash my hands. Lord said, hands are all right now, Peter. I'll bet they weren't always.
Yeah.
I don't know if they had bars, beer joints, or whatever, but I'll guarantee, I bet that hand had a hold of something that shouldn't have. And I bet he'd taken that hand, I bet he'd done some things with it that he shouldn't do. God looked at them hands and said, no, that's okay, Peter, they're clean now.
Yeah.
Now, haven't your hands been dirty?
Yeah.
Haven't your hands been dirty? Haven't you used them for the wrong things? Hasn't there been a time when they were a grief to you and a woe to you and a problem to you? Peter said, well, Lord, wash my head. Well, I'll bet that head had some jokes in it. Isn't it funny how you can still remember some of those?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll bet that head had some language in it. I'll bet that head had some vile thoughts in it. You know what the Lord said? The Lord said, Peter, your head's okay. What I say to you tonight, people, is thank God that there's a whole bunch of things about us just in the battle anymore.
Yeah.
I remember after I first got saved, man, what a battle. What a battle. You know what I tell people? I tell people this. Basically, there's about four sins of the flesh, and you can take this for what it's worth to you. There's basically four sins of the flesh that generally people have one, a combination, or all of. They tend to be cussing, drinking, smoking, and immorality. Now, that's generally those four. What I have seen when somebody gets saved is I've never seen God take those away. I've seen God always takes three of them away. He will always leave one. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I got saved, I smoked about a pack and a half to two packs of cigarettes a day. And I was addicted to cigarettes. I was not addicted to alcohol. Now, I drank every day. Sunday for me was a special day. Sunday I drank and fished. And I drank 7 days a week, and I was not an alcoholic, but if I went 3 days without it, I made up for lost time. I couldn't go more than 3 days without it. When I got saved, talking about God was not new. I brought him into every conversation I had within 60 seconds. Of course, it was in the wrong manner. You know, the thing about that is, you do it without even thinking about it. You know, when I got saved, I didn't have any trouble getting rid of cigarettes. You know, when I got saved, I never had to make a conscious effort to quit cussing. You know, when I got saved, my life got morally right. And you know, when I got saved, I had the greatest battle with alcohol that I ever had. You know why I believe God does that? First off, if he left all four of them for us, we'd go down the slammers.
Yeah.
There ain't no way we'd overtake them.
Sure.
Good night, man. Those Christians can't take their flesh on now, let alone a newborn baby.
Yeah.
But if he takes all four of them away, we'll never grow strong either.
Amen.
And I found that God will always take, and I don't know which one it is for you, or which one it was. But one of them, maybe it's a temper, I don't know what it is. But one of them, it's kind of like your feet. But one of them, he's going to let you take care of yourself. And you know, it's just like a cocoon. Yeah, I'm going to ask, you know what a cocoon is, man? You got a butterfly and a cocoon. You know, if you ever peel that cocoon off so that the butterfly doesn't have to come out, it'll die. Because coming out, the work that it has to work to come out, gives it strength to live. They say that a chick, if you would break the egg open when it's ready to be born, you would break the egg open and allow that chick, oh, gee, I feel so sorry for it, you know, you see it working, and it just pokes its head out, and then it rests, and it's so tired. Now just break all that shell off and let it out. It will die, because that fight for life gives it strength to carry it through. And you know, God takes all those away and lets us have one to fight with. And if you're fighting with that one, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to get the best of it. And let me advise you this, once you get rid of it, don't go back.
Yeah, amen.
I've seen people on the ones, not that they had to fight, but one of them that God took away, and when they went back to it, they say, I can't get victory. They say, I had it, but I can't. God says, well, he's probably saying, look, pal, I took it once.
Yeah.
But people, thank God tonight that it's just your feet.
Amen.
Thank God that the blood of Jesus Christ has washed you clean. And look, I am not minimizing sin, and I know we can't be sinlessly perfect, but just think about the fact that you go through your day and you don't do some things that you used to do just by habit.
That's right.
You don't go some places, you don't say some things, you don't see some things, you don't think some things, you don't do some things. I mean, there are some areas in your life that are so far behind God's front line that you don't have to worry about somebody breaking through and taking over and losing the ground you've gained. What I'm telling you is, thank God that though your feet are dirty, thank God you've been to the bath and it's just your feet.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of things that God's giving you. Now here it is, oh, I can't get victory. Well, praise God for the areas in your life where he's given you victory, where you have wrought victory, where you are clean. Thank God you're clean. Thank God it's just the feet, man.
Amen.
Thank God for the battle. You say, well, I fight this and I fight this. Keep on fighting.
Yeah.
And keep on fighting. But thank God for the things you don't have to fight anymore. The next thing that tells me, verse 14 and 15, he said, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. That tells me then, now, first off, that you should assume the feet are dirty, and thank God it's just for feet, but the next thing that tells me is that we should be here to help one another get clean.
Yeah.
There's been all kinds of neat cliches about what we do to our brethren. You know, we're the only army that shoots its wounds. But people, you know, you say, well, yeah, but you know, Sister So-and-so in church, you know, she did this. Well, what'd you expect? Her feet got to be dirty somewhere. Well, Brother So-and-so, you know, he lost his temper. Well, I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying the feet got to get dirty sometime. But what I am saying is this, and I've said it, and I'll say it, and I'll keep on saying, till the Lord comes back, when one of our brethren falls, it is not time for us to put on our football spikes and climb up on their back and clean them off, clean the spikes out. It is time to reach down and pick them up and wipe off the mud and wipe off the blood and carry them till they can walk. I had a man one time I knew that he was a saved man. If I told you what he did, he should be in prison. I mean, prison. If I told you what he did, you'd say, why didn't you let him go to prison? That's a fact. Yet I went, and I did what I could, and did what I felt I should, and he didn't go to prison. And one night we were riding together, and he was going through this battle. He couldn't understand why I was standing by him. And he looked over at me and he said, what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm riding with you. He said, no, I mean, what are you doing here? He said, you should have let me go. He said, I should be in prison. He said, I'm not gone because of you. He said, how come? And I told him what I just told you. I said, brother, when you're down, I'm not going to clean my spikes in your back. I said, I will wipe off the mud. I will wipe off the blood. I will put my arm around you. I'll put yours over my shoulder, and I'll carry you till you can walk. Now, I won't carry you a foot past where you can walk, but I'll carry you till you can walk. You say, how'd it turn out? Man, he's graduating from Bible college.
Yeah.
Man, I'd rather go to Bible college in prison, you know. One is 1 to 20, one is 1 to 3.
Yeah.
People, what I'm saying is this. You recognize the shortcoming. You recognize the sin nature of your brethren, be they in this church or somewhere else, and you recognize what is wrong with them. Don't think that you're some kind of Sherlock Holmes. I mean, that would be like having walked in there and saying, oh, Lord, I'm going to tell you something. All your disciples have dirty feet. No kidding. You know, I wonder what God thinks when we get down and pray about some of the brethren. No, and I just want to let you know, Lord, they're selfish. God says, I've been working on 15 years.
Yeah.
And I sure didn't need you to shoot your mouth off about it. My kid, I'll take care of him. You know, we go around and we say, well, I just, they're awfully impatient. I want you to be impatient. Well, he's got to be dirty. But it is up to us to help one another. It is up to us to clean each other up. You know, if that thing that you see about the brother or the sister that you find so repulsive in your self-righteous indignation, you know what God said? He said, if you're the one that noticed it, why don't you take care of it? Well, that's what I'm trying to do. No, that's not what I mean. Why don't you go help them get cleaned up? Why don't you go lend a hand? Why don't you do what you can to help somebody? Why aren't you there for them to lean on if they can't stand up for themselves? I am not saying that we are to condone the sin. I am not saying we are to put our head in the sand and allow it to go on. What I am saying is that after someone has been washed in the blood of Christ, after they've been cleaned up, there's an area in their life that they are weak, that they have a battle. It is up to us to get out there and help them clean up that area. Not stand back and say, I'm not like that. Well, should we find out where you are? And should we magnify that, get a megaphone and stand before the whole church and tell everybody about that? Or would you not rather have somebody come by with a pan of water and a towel and clean your feet? Have you ever had anybody catch you in your humanity and had them opt not to say anything? You know what they just did? They just washed your feet. People, that tells me that by example, the Lord said, as you've seen me do, I want you to do. And we are all good. Listen, we are all good at seeing what's wrong with the brethren. I mean, I'm sorry. We all know how everybody ought to be. You know, I want to show you the craziness. There's a person here. I don't think there's a man, I don't think there's any three men in this church couldn't get together and take care of, knows exactly what to do in Iraq. I think in a half an hour we'd take care of the problems of the world. Isn't that right? We know how to balance the budget. We know how to take care of the queers. I mean, in a half an hour we could take care of all of the problems of this nation. Isn't that right? There's quite some men here. Now, for some of the problems of the brethren in the church, it might take us an hour. But we could still, you know, Brother Ken Miller, he's got this problem. And any three men here say, yeah, you know, but they just take care of it this way. Or just do this. And about an hour, everybody will come to Ken and say, Ken, if you'll just follow our prescription, you'll be all taken care of. Do you realize that your own shortcomings, some of you are living a lifetime trying to straighten out? You can take care of the problems of the world in a half an hour. And your own little flaws, and your own little sins, and your own little personality problems, oh, those are big! Oh, those are big, man! Oh, I mean, you know, they're taking my parking space away! And what? Well, what am I going to do? This is a crisis. Now, in an hour, all the brethren in the church show you what to do. But, brother, this is a lifetime. It's going to take you months to get over this if you ever do. You know what you need? You need help. I don't know of a person in the Mideast in those days that ever had to wash his own feet when he went to somebody's house. If I'm not mistaken, the custom was that when you came to the house, you took off your shoes and somebody was there to wash your feet. Somebody was there to see to it that your feet were clean. Be it a servant, be it the master of the house, or the lady of the house, there was somebody there to clean your feet. And maybe you can't take care of your problem. But all that tells me is that if you recognize someone else's man, take them under your wing in that area. And bolster them, and boost them, and encourage them, and clean them, and pick them up, and carry them, and wash their feet. The Lord told you to do it. It is not a good idea. It is not a nice program to have in our church. It is not something that we ought to just, let's all try this. It's something the Lord said, I did it, you can do it. Isn't it amazing that God, a God that is so great that when he talks about how great he is, says, I'm to swear by somebody, couldn't find anybody greater than me, so I swear by myself. Yeah. A God that can stand up and say, is there another God? I'm another God. Yeah. I don't see no God around here but me. Anyone wants to do anything about it? Such a God could humble himself and do something that we can't humble ourselves and do. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's your own dirty feet that are in your way. Maybe it's your own pride that's in the way. And people, we are to help one another. The next thing let me say is this. You better want to be clean.
Yeah.
You better, hey look man, they've just been to the bath, hadn't they? The hair was clean. Doesn't it feel good when your hair is clean? Now, some of you, it's clean off your head, but that's all right. There's two of us in here that are joining those ranks. you're not going bald, just growing through your hair, that's all. But haven't your hair been dirty? Doesn't it feel good when it's clean? And haven't you ever been dirty, you know? And doesn't it feel good when you're clean? Then why would you want to leave your feet dirty? It doesn't even make sense, does it? What I'm saying to you, I'm not talking about murder. I'm not talking about adultery. I'm talking about your hard attitude. I'm talking about your laziness. I'm talking about your not witnessing. I'm talking about your non-Bible reading. I'm talking about stealing from God. I'm talking about your envy. I'm talking about your pride. You should want to get it straightened out.
Yeah.
You know what happens to us? We've changed our sins into mistakes.
Yeah.
Oh, no, about a preacher. What a wingding, man. He's starting to call sin negative, what is it? Negative behavior. We must fault this negative behavior. Man, about that time a tomato ought to bounce off. Peace. Now that was a sin. Now here's what I'm going to say, and you get this down. If you've got an area in your life that is a battle, don't you, now you say, oh, but preacher, you don't understand. I have fought this thing, and then I'll get the victory, and then I'll stumble. And then I'll get the victory, and I'll stumble, and I'll get the victory, and I'll stumble. And I just resign my, don't you ever resign yourself to it.
Yeah.
Don't you ever. Listen, you fight it as long as you can fight it. And when you fail, you confess it. And then you fight it as long as you can fight it. And when you fail, you confess it. And you fight it, and you confess it, and you fight it, and you confess it, and you fight it, and you fight it, and you fight it. Listen, don't you give in. Don't you condone it. Don't you rationalize it. Don't you minimize it. Don't you compare it to somebody else's and say, mine isn't as bad as theirs. Don't you say, oh, well, we all have the flesh and we all have the problems. Listen, don't you ever give in and resign yourself to it. Fight it till the Lord comes back.
Yeah.
I talked to a guy one time. He's in my church. Saved 21 years. Shame on him. 21 years. 21 years saved, had a temper of the hair trigger. You say, well, but preacher, that's who I am. Well, that's the way I was. Man, I used to walk around, buddy, my gun was cocked, and I just soon hit you as talk to you. There were some people, that's how I started or ended the conversation. But I've taken care of that in my life. And this guy says, Ralph, you know, he said, I just get mad. Listen, I've seen that man with his face that far from my face, his face just as red as that songbook right there, screaming in my face, yelling at me as the pastor of his church. You know what I told him? And he's screaming, why he's screaming? He said, I've been saved 21 years! I said, pal, I thought after 21 years you should grow up.
Yeah.
Now I got a 5-year-old I won't let do that. I'm going to tell you something, he better not be doing by the time he's 21.
Yeah.
But you take it out when they're 5. You take it out when they're 5 weeks. You know what he says? Oh, well, but see, that's just me. I just lose my temper, but that's just me. I felt like saying, well, you know, I just run around with women, but that's just me.
Yeah.
I just take a little cocaine, but that's just me. I just don't get drunk every now and then, but hey, you know, that's just me.
Yeah.
What I'm saying to you tonight is, listen, don't you call it a mistake. Don't you say, oh, well, we're all in the flesh, and we all have problems, and we all do things wrong. Listen, don't you rationalize it or justify it or ignore it. You fight it and fight it and fight it, and don't you ever resign yourself to it. Don't you ever do that. You fight it and you say, oh, man, I was doing so good, and then I stumbled. Then get back up. And when you get back up, if you start running, you fall, then get back up. Don't you ever lay down and say, well, this is the position that God wants me in. God don't ever want you laying down accepting it. You know what? I hate flies. I hate flies, man. I mean, I hate flies. I was telling Ron, I said, I'd like to have something you could spray flies with to make mosquitoes attack them. I just think that'd be neat. My two dreams are to make mosquitoes want to attack flies and then take the mosquitoes. You know what I've always wanted to do with mosquitoes? I'm always going to take a room and spray the ceiling and the floor and all the walls with off, and then just turn a bunch of mosquitoes loose and watch them fly themselves to death. You say, boy, you're a sadist. Yeah, well, I swat them, man. I'm the suffer, man. I'm the suffer. They make me, you ever have one flying here at night? You know, at night I've given myself a concussion. I think I got him. Haven't you ever done that? I hate those things. I was like sitting in that room going, I can't land there. I'm just watching this go, oh, see you, Millie. I'm going down. That blessed my heart. I said, catch all the mosquitoes. Turn loose. Say, there you go, guys. What do you think of that? When they die, they'd probably fall and stop this far from the floor. It's kind of... I hate flies. I really do. And in a trailer, they go insane. In a trailer in the morning, you know what they do? They fly about this far above the... The other day, I had one. Get this. Our windows on our trailer open out like this. And, of course, we have a screen here. So I have to have a fly get caught on the outside of the trailer. He goes up to the top of the window, and he can't get out. And I'm trying to sleep, and I get just like a... I hear it. I try not to say what I'm thinking. And I close my... And I look, an idiot here is still walking around going, well, I can't figure this out. And I think, what a fool. Fly down. They'll go right to the bottom of the window. I know why they have all eyes up here, because they're blind. They must have 50% vision just popped right out. They walk around, they're going, man, I don't know what a telephone is, but I hear one ringing. I hate flies. When we have them in the trailer, I turn my sons there. Get the fly. They just go out there, they hunt them. We stalk them, man. We kill them. But I'm going to tell you something. Do you ever get one, you know, when you get the sprag? And, you know, I mean, you know, some of them, you know, they just fall over on their back and just go. You gotta admit, isn't that a pretty sight? You know, I think some of these earth lover and animal people, man, I think they'd have mercy on a mosquito or on a fly. Now, I just love to see them die. Now, I don't say nothing to flies, but you know what? Every now and then you spray one of them dudes, and he's gone. But he goes down on his back, and instead of laying there and just going, he goes, and then he's trying to get jump started, you know? And then you can always tell as they die. You ever listen to them die? They go, you know what I think of that? I think, I like this guy. I mean, I don't like flies, but you know what? This guy is not going to lay down and die. He says, I know I'm dying, but I'm going out fighting this thing as long as I can. And he'll sit in there. I mean, they just kind of go up, pitch, you know. I had this old 72 Hornet, you know, and you open the, how was it? You didn't, what is it where the buzzers are, stupid buzzers? And I got tired of having that buzzer, you know, like you get in, don't fasten your seat belt or whatever the case is. And so I got in this thing and it's always going, meh. So I reached for the dash and I'm feeling around. It was the funniest sound, it sounded like one of them flies, you know. I reached for the, and I finally go, and I start going, I like them flies, man, that when you spray them and they're dying, they'll just lay back and go, oh, man, he got me. They say, I'm going, but I ain't giving up. And they just always, I mean, I want to salute them. Look here. Yes, you're in the flesh. Yes, as long as you're in this world, your feet are going to be dirty. Isn't that right? But I'm going to tell you, you fight it, and you fight it, and you fight it, and you fight it, and you fight it. When your feet get dirty, you wash them again, and when they get dirty again, you say, I don't understand it. I'm going to quit washing them because they just get dirty. Don't do that about showers, please.
Yeah.
Well, I know. I wash them, but they just get dirty. I might as well quit. Well, I won't brush them, but they turn green anyway. I may as well quit. You wouldn't think a five-year-old could wake up with buzzard breath. You know, the only thing worse than a five-year-old with buzzard breath in the morning is one that realizes he has it and uses it as a weapon. He'd come over and say, hi. I mean, man, it'll curl your nose hair. I'm going, I mean, gargle gas, man, it'd be an improvement. Light it. Well, you know, I take a shower, but I get dirty again anyway, so I'm just going to quit taking a shower. You're also going to quit having friends. You didn't know that. That is the same attitude about somebody that says, well, I tried and I failed, so I guess, you know, we all have our problems, and, you know, at least I'm not like so-and-so, at least I'm not like so-and-so, and I ain't committed murder, and I ain't committed adultery, so hey. So hey, shut up and wash your feet.
Yeah, amen.
Wash your feet. I know your feet are dirty. I don't know where it is. I don't know what the situation is in your life. Look with me to 1 John chapter 1 and Isaiah chapter 1. If I'm talking to somebody tonight, you know, sometimes you just get tired. You ever get tired of being dirty? John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I like that. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. That'll get your feet clean. That'll wash you up. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me say this to you. I'm going to tell you how to wash your feet. Here's what we do. Lord, forgive me for getting mad the other day. And forgive me for being impatient. You realize what on earth are you doing listening to me? You will begin to realize how much grace God has for you. You say, well, what do I do about those ones I can't remember? You don't throw a gospel blanket over them. Well, you know, if there's anything I forgot, well, I'll just forgive that too. God says no. Well, how am I supposed to confess it if I can't remember it? I say, God, if there's anything I forgot, bring it to mind, and I will confess it too. You see, you forgot it. He ain't the one that's senile. He ain't forgot it. And I've had it go about 3 weeks later. I'll be driving along and the Lord will say, hey, remember when you said to tell you about a sin that you forgot to confess? Yeah. Remember this one? I think I can remember that mistake. And then I confess it and I get it cleaned up. That book says over there in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. Look at what God says to people with dirty feet. You got dirty feet tonight? If you ain't got dirty feet, I don't believe you. My brother Joe says, I was perfect up till I just now lied, you know. I mean, if you tell me your feet aren't dirty tonight, they just got dirty when you told me they weren't. Verse 18 says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That wordless book is nice, and I understand what they do, why they do it, but the fact is that it says sin is black and it ain't, it's red.
That's right.
And so our sin is red, and yet when you put the blood, the red blood of Jesus Christ on your sin, you come out as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. What I tell you tonight is that the Lord is willing to do for you tonight what he did with his disciples, even the one who a few hours later would betray him. He is willing to take that blood and wash your sin. Be it envy, be it lazy, be it an unclean thought life, be it love for money, be it a desire and or pride or a desire for gain in this world and reputation. Be it a lack of love for this book or a lack of love for Jesus Christ, whatever your dirty feet is tonight, what I'm saying is that the same God that washed you every whit whole will take care of that portion of you that the world seems to corrupt so easily. What I'm telling you is twofold. Number one, come and let him wash your feet. And number two, don't you ever quit fighting it. You fight it till you die. I will not be outdone by a stinking fly.
Yeah.
I will not go to the grave with a fly have more virtue than I got. I will not go to the grave with a fly with more character than I got. Then fight it all the way, right? Just fight it right down till his last ounce of strength goes. I ain't doing that. I will fight it too. And when I get my victories and I rejoice in them, and then when I get my failures and when I get my sins, I don't rejoice in them, but I get my feet washed and I go right back at it.
Yeah.
What I say to you tonight is this. The invitation has come now, and let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Will you stand with your heads bowed? Aren't you thankful that there's some place to wash your feet? Aren't you thankful that God has taken care of everything? He not only washed you in His blood in a permanent sense, but He'll wash you continuously in a temporary sense. Now, let me say, all you people who are afraid to come forward because someone will think there's sin in your life, tonight's the best night to do it because we'll only think it's a little thing. Tonight, they'll only think it's dirty feet. But if you're here tonight and your feet are dirty, I know your feet are dirty. I assume your feet are dirty. You'll never convince me that your feet are not dirty. If you've convinced yourself that your feet are not dirty, then you have been deceived by a deceitful heart that is desperately weak. But I say this to you tonight, as you stand there, don't you thank God for all of you that's clean? Don't you thank God for the things about your body and the things about your life that are clean? Don't you thank God that it's just your feet? But if it's just your feet, that makes it that much easier to get all clean. I'll pray. Mike is going to come with an invitation hymn. Then you come to a foot washing. You allow the blood of Jesus Christ to take your scarlet sin and make it white as snow. You can leave here tonight like you left the bath, white top to bottom. No blood on your feet. Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you did with your disciples. It does not amaze me that you are great. You created the whole world. I would expect you to be great. It amazes me that you are humble. My goodness, that's something, Father. I mean, you could have gone to the cross without doing what you did in John 13. But you are humble. Lord God, don't let someone here be more proud than you are. Father, let anybody with a dirty foot tonight come and wash them. If there's somebody, God, who is just at the point of just resigning themselves to their situation, give them the stamina to fight it again. And if they fall down, get them back up and fight it again. And fight it, 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 till you come and get us and take us out of here and give us a body that can't sin. Thank you, God, that you said come. Let us reason together. Thank you, God, that you said that our crimson sins could be white as snow. That our scarlet sins could be white as wool. Help everybody here to take advantage of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you'll stand, open your psalm books, number 310. I surrender all. And if you need, just get your feet washed. You do that. If you're here tonight and you know what somebody else's dirty feet, well, maybe you can help them get clean. You come as we sing. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give.
I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Bow your heads, the piano continues. If you don't have anything to come forward for, you ought to thank God for how much of you is clean. You ought to thank God for the battles that you did not fight today. For the battles some of you haven't fought in years. No, you haven't attained sinless perfection. You just got saved. You just got washed in the blood. And if you're clean tonight, I want you to remember one thing. You probably won't be this time next week. If you didn't need to wash your feet tonight, you will before the week is over. You will. Because the feet always get dirty.
Piano plays, you need to come, play another verse. Appreciate the messages we've heard today because they hit right down home. Couldn't help but think the Lord's got a way of working on you. I have a brother that is in a real, real large church, and could help think, as Brother Gip was preaching about deceitful heart. I thought of all those people that are dressed up so nice and so pretty, and I said, boy, that wouldn't go over good there. The Lord says, how's it going over with you? The Lord got a way of always bringing it right back home. Right back. I'm glad he does. Nothing worse than just being dirty. Just being dirty. Physical dirt, as bad as that is, that's mild compared to that old soil you get on you from the stain of sin. Couldn't help think Mrs. King, 44 years old, God wiped that away. Wiped that right away. My, some God. Some God. Cliff Taylor called me today. He said, preacher, I hope you don't mind me calling you. He said, but my pastor's gone. And he said, you're the first one I thought of. And he said, I got to tell you. He said, he went by a church today, and he'd been in February. He said, they told me they'd take me on for support. I never heard anything. He said, so I just stopped by, had an open day, and stopped by and walked in. They were excited to see me, and preacher said, you getting our support? And he said, no. So they've been sending support since February and haven't got it. Never received it at his mission board. He's been sending prayer letters. They never received his prayer letters. And he said, I had a fella come up to me, and he looked at me and he said, go ye. Oh, why go, he said. Why go? I thought that was strange, somebody come up and say, why go? Brother Cliff said, I was there in February and preached a message, why go? And he said, this man, he said, was working in the prisons, and he said he was about to quit, he was tired, He said, wasn't seeing any results. And he said, you preach that message, why go? And he told Brother Cliff, he said, since February, every single week before I go to the prison, I listen to that complete tape, why go? And he said, it's been a help to me. He said, I was discouraged. He said, I get up for a while and get down. You say, what was his sin? Well, maybe just not enough faith in God. And he said, Brother Cliff, he said, since February, he said, we've had 105 of them prisoners turn to Christ and trust him as his Savior. Cliff said, man, he said, I want to take a couple laps. And you know what God will do? God will take an old sinner like Cliff Taylor. Cliff knows what he is. And for Cliff to call and Cliff on calling talking to brag about that, oh man. Cliff just, he's almost crying telling me that God would be so gracious to use a little red-headed sinner like that. Just God's mercy to take somebody defiled by the world and clean them up. And don't you know that Cliff be the first one to tell you that he's had dirty feet along the way, and yet God in his mercy will say, you're trying to stay clean. You're doing the best you can. I'm just going to give you a little blessing you don't even know about, and I'm going to keep it from you for months. Don't you know how good it'll be one day to leave this earth behind and get to heaven? And those times that we've wanted to quit and said, God, I'll just get up and fight again, like Brother Gibb said, just go one more time and go one more time. You say, I don't know what it's worth, but I'm just going to keep going. And one day we see the face of our Savior, and he'll say, there's some things I just kept back from you, and I'd just like you to see, because you did not quit, this is what happened. These souls are here tonight because you went the extra mile, and had you quit, this young child, steeped in sin, would never have been here. This older lady, just about to die, would have never been here. My, it'll be worth it all one day. And I appreciate the message this evening. Appreciate how God allows us to get in this world, and sometimes we get defiled, but thank God we can come to the well of life and have that blood of Christ clean us up. We're going to close here, sing one more verse, all to Jesus I surrender. You need to come, we'll stay. If not, we'll close that last verse, number 310.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. Appreciate you.